Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to episode 277 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. And my name is Dan Gorman. Quick, Doctor, both of these butt cheeks are unrecognizable. If we want anyone to recognize this as a butt in the future, then we're going to have to do a complete butt transplant stat.
My name is Casey Lyons, and you want to throw me in the pit, you're going to have to catch me first. Oh, they caught me. They caught me so fast.
My name is Greg LeGros, and there's $40 billion of net worth walking around this party, and you guys are standing around drinking shrimp and talking about what cum tastes like.
Oh, there you go, off the top.
There we go, just going to jump right into it.
Yes, we have a lot to talk about this week. Two of us went to the theaters and saw War for the Planet of the Apes, and one of us stayed at home and watched Farewell to the Planet of the Apes. We will talk about those two films in our film roulette segment later in the show, as well as a punishment album, and lots more. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please email us at info@modernsuperior.com. You can go to modernsuperior.com and listen to lots of other podcasts there as well. You can rate and review us in iTunes, which is great. Please do it. And you will find us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC. And we often stream our recordings here and there on youtube.com/modernsuperior. And please don't forget, we haven't been saying it, but tell all your friends about us in real life at any chance that you get. How are you guys doing?
Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
Fine.
Yeah? Doing good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. One of you, Greg's grandma this week with the Walt Disney World mug.
So you're going to say something about my grandma. Greg, like, yeah, what about my grandma?
Greg's grandma can go fuck herself. Yeah.
This week, she can go fuck herself.
Yeah. I got a nice Walt Disney World grandma.
Totally. Mug.
I'm a modern superior grandpa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I'm drinking coffee, too. I'm not going to spill it. I swear to God.
You got the cool New York Greek cup.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You're going to spill your coffee and go, oh, no, I'm Dan Anderson.
So we got lots to talk about this week. Should we jump into the new news?
Yeah, there's many things.
There's lots of things to talk about. I think we should, as we are usually want to do, talk about some sad stuff off the top.
Sure.
Some very sad stuff.
We haven't
stuff.
Been keeping up with sad news lately, so let's fucking get
there's
into
been less
it.
Of it.
Yeah, so,
it's a nice, wonderful world.
Yeah.
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 The other day, the news broke of George Romero's passing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Casey was off screen there.
Yeah, I'm getting back in. Making a little face while we talk about death.
Yeah, a huge blow to not only the horror community, but cinema and film community as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one hit hard, I think, for a lot of people.
Everyone's real sad.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, contributed to a genre, created one, reinvigorated one.
Yeah.
Or reinvented. And there was a million things that then followed for the first wave of movies that followed what he did in 68, and then he did it again in 78, which then informed a couple of decades of horror movies and how they were going to be.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't I don't know that I'd be the same person if he didn't make movies than I am now.
Yeah, totally.
The well, even if
watching
you didn't,
I did, and the doors it opened of other things I got deeply into.
Totally.
Even if you didn't watch directly Romero movies, he created genres and all genres, and also created a certain tone. Like he created an unsettling tone.
Yeah,
I think that's very specific and often lifted.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of viewers of horror movies, I know for my experience, it was one of the first times that I was exposed to movies that were not only just horror movies, like everyone always talks about, like Dawn of the Dead, it's about consumerism and stuff. And like, for me at that time, like early high school, watching Dawn of the Dead and being like, oh, I'm not only connecting to this movie on a, like, it's zombies and they're munching away on guts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I'm also being, you know, like engaged with my brain and I'm like thinking about it and being like, yeah, oh, this is fucked up, or oh yeah, this is interesting.
It was crazy how well he did it three times in a row. I know that Day of the Dead is the lesser of the big three, but it's still
but
great
still
fucking movie.
Still very good. Yeah,
incredibly disgusting. And
yeah, it's got some gross shit in it.
I had the Fangoria issue about Day of the Dead, and it had the shot of that the evil Bono guy being torn in half, and my mind was just destroyed. I was like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
How is this in a movie? This is
why did he let them do that?
And just to have the know-how or the ambition to make horror films that are going to echo huge social issues of the day.
Yeah.
And they aren't small ones. No. But nothing's like out there like, ooh, it's about Cold War tension and fear of the bomb. It's none of that. It's just the atmosphere is there. He just understood the tone of the time and how to get that eerie feeling into a movie about people in each other's faces.
And he did it from the start, right? Like,
Right away.
You go back and you watch the original Night of the Living Dead. It's like, this movie has something to say so specifically and obviously, and was made like clearly born out of like frustration and like being upset about what's going on right now. Like from the beginning, he made no bones about being like, yeah, I'm telling these kind of crazy stories, but I'm also like, I'm going to be saying something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw that Jordan Peele posted a bunch of stuff on Twitter. He posted like photos of Ken Foray from the original and saying like he did it first, like kind of like, you know, paving the way for representation, you know, with
not only
with
somebody,
that casting decision.
Somebody else mentioned on Twitter, they were like, it was a movie in 1968 where a level-headed black man saves the day only to be murdered by a bunch of scared white people.
Yeah.
and just how important in telling that was.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, though, when you see people talking about it on Twitter because, you know, the death of George Romero seems to become, like, for movie nerds, like, what's the most arcane Romero movie I can go, actually, that movie's pretty good. I don't think everybody notices the artistry behind Monkey Shines.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a big Bruiser fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and again, like a lot of...
Monkey Shines is great, by the way.
Like a lot of masters of horror, he has a long career that is up and down. But the what he has left in cinema is like fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. No, you can't escape what he's made.
He changed the game entirely. And everything will always echo him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It will be there forever.
Yeah.
The wind will cry.
There's, you know, and obviously the big three zombie movies are like, that's kind of like the go-to.
Yeah.
There's good stuff. Like The Crazies is a good movie.
Yeah.
Martin's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's good stuff out there.
Totally.
But yeah, you don't have to get all fucking fancy with this shit. Like I made two masterpieces of the genre.
He would have been fine at that.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, if he didn't do anything else, but
yeah,
that's the great thing too is that throughout all of the ups and downs and everything, he was just a guy who fucking made movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was a guy who just straight up was like, I make movies.
Yeah, I don't care how they're made. I make them like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't care if they're good. I make them like this.
Yeah. So yeah,
pretty amazing.
If you haven't revisited a Romero movie in the wake of his passing, you should definitely do so. He's got
shamefully
a number of great ones.
I heard about it and I was like, well, I gotta watch Creepshow.
Yeah, yeah.
But I haven't yet, but I will.
Yeah, I haven't yet either.
I've seen that movie a lot of times.
Yeah. Totally.
I'll watch it again.
Oh, I've seen it so many times, but I've been wanting to watch it again anyway because Myos hasn't seen it, so I've been wanting
to
watch it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
wow,
always
that's
good.
Great.
And the ending with all the bugs is always great to see with somebody for the first time, like, mm-hmm, hey, this is about to happen.
Yeah, yeah. She has always wanted to see Stephen King covered in moss.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah.
So from one sad news of a passing to another, big one.
Yeah.
Landau passed away. Mm-hmm. Obviously a long and storied career.
Just a huge career.
Yeah. Like, and one of those careers that not only crossed over into like the B movie territory, but always had like a good performance. Like if you've ever seen the horror movie Alone in the Dark, the one from the '80s, he's in that and it's kind of a goofy movie and a little silly, but he's playing like kind of a wacko character, but he's putting his work in, and I will always remember the first time I saw Ed Wood as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is such a fucking great performance.
I think for people in our age or a little younger as well, that's sort of the gateway or the learning about who Martin Landau is as an actor. That's the big performance, you know.
It's really, that movie's a lot of things. Like it's a defining role,
like,
for Martin Landau.
A perfect movie.
It's the perfect apex of Johnny Depp actually acting and being a little weirdo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the good movie Tim Burton made that isn't Beetlejuice. or Batman. Which is not actually that great a movie. But Landau died anyway, so that's sad.
Yeah, super sad. And yeah, again, huge career.
Yeah,
and not only important, like we had just heard about Romero, mm-hmm, which was a very horror related kind of gut punch. Mm-hmm. But then so many people,
an hour later, I heard about Martin Landau,
and it's another like kind of genre crossing, you know, entity in the film world. Like, he did B movies, he did horror movies, he did great
television,
yeah, tons of amazing performances. So then it was like all the horror people online were like, oh god damn it, now this, and then and then everyone else was like, oh fuck, like a titan of industry.
Yeah
It was just such a bummer of a 1-2 punch.
The Ed Wood thing was great for, you know, shining a light on a great actor who maybe didn't have any kind of real attention in the 80s, 90s. Not from new film goers anyway, younger ones. But so you get to see that, you learn about this great actor through this amazing performance and a very good movie. But it was also fun to watch just how delighted he was when he got that new birth of fame at a late age. It was pretty great. He was just delighted by the whole fucking thing. And it was very classy and funny. And
yeah, he seems like terrific. One of those kind of old world actors who was just like, I love to entertain.
I think that's
really sweet.
Totally.
Now he's not alive. I don't know how
super
I was
bummer.
Planning nice. On ending that.
So, if you haven't seen some of Landau's performances, you got a lot that you can go through and check out, and you really should.
Yeah.
So then I guess let's segue out of the sad news,
yes,
and start talking about what else has been going on in the movie world. Do you guys want to get right to the teaser trailer that was released?
Yeah,
today?
We just watched that, so let's really change gears.
Yes, The Disaster Artist.
Yeah,
the James Franco directed take on the book that is it Jeremy, the guy that wrote the book? It's like I'm gonna mess up his name.
Jeremy Sisto.
Yeah,
Sisto. be wonderful.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, fuck it, I'm doing this.
Hey, look at that, he can do something.
So it's about The Room, which is the cult film, obviously. Tommy Wiseau directed. It was kind of a big splash. I remember when I was in college and that came out. Just like, oh my god,
it's unfathomable. If you haven't watched anything from it, or you almost like, if you just see little clips, you're like, no, that, well, come on.
Yeah.
Greg Sestero was the was in the Room, and he wrote The Disaster Artist, the book about the movie, and then now James Franco is adapting the book.
Yeah it's an there's a lot of bad movies that we all herald or, you know, are notorious or whatever, but this is it's bad in a completely new way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. Completely unique. There's nothing
I haven't
like
watched
it
in a long time. I got to watch it again before I see this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh,
totally.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I've been meaning to read that book.
Yeah.
Apparently it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so James Franco is Tommy Wiseau in the movie, mm-hmm. and he also directed it, and mm-hmm. Yeah, I said to you guys, like, the teaser, when it started, I thought, oh, it just seems like James Franco is just being James Franco. I'm not sure if he's, like, trying to disappear into it yet. But then as the teaser went on, yeah. I kind of felt like by the time it gets to the end, which is he says the line basically as it is in the movie, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, now he's nailing it.
But he does something that's deceptively next to impossible, where he delivers the line as it's delivered in the movie, which is weird and off-putting.
Yeah.
But also he delivers it like in the movie, like he delivers it genuinely like an actor who is very bad would genuinely yeah. deliver that line badly.
Yeah.
There's layers to what he's doing, like that is deceptively impossible and yeah. amazing.
He can be terrific. Hopefully yeah. this is the is that.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm really excited about this. But yeah, well, must rewatch Room, The Room.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't watch Room.
No, I'll never stop crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that teaser, it looks good. Good cast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Totally.
Yeah. That's.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
That's it. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
From The Room / Disaster Artist to something that caused a bit of a Twitter storm.
A bit.
A bit. So Ron Howard tweeted out, I guess, a photo from the Han Solo film set. Uh-huh. And I scrolled back on his timeline and I didn't see much else.
Oh, shit, I didn't see this.
No, I didn't see much else about him kind of tweeting anything. It just seemed like this was something he just ended up doing.
When did this happen?
This happened the other day. So what happened was he tweeted this picture out of him that I've put up on the screen on set. And Chewbacca's there, and they're kind of watching a scene that has just happened. And then some people on the internet were kind of like, hey, wait a second. What's going on
What's going on his hat?
Yeah, mm. What's going on this screen here where we see two Chewbaccas doing the kind of love forehead bump? Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of, like, is this his, like, family? Is this the Chewbacca's wife? What's going on here?
My wife.
Yeah, so a lot of people were talking about this. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people were like, hey, what's going on with this movie? Like, it was kind of like after the announcement of the change of directors, people yeah. had something to
now
look at and grab onto.
Story. Yeah,
yeah. What do you guys think of this as more diehard Star Wars guys than me?
This is just appearing in front of my face right now.
Yeah, yeah. Give us your raw take, man.
Yeah. Yeah. React. Yeah. This is a react video now.
Yeah.
Look at us.
What do you feel?
We'll get so many hits from this.
I don't fucking know. I don't know what any of this pertains to. Yeah. There's gonna be a bunch of Chewbaccas in this movie.
Yeah.
That's great. I love Chewbaccas. And some of them appear to love each other.
Yeah.
So fucking yeah. And if they get it on, all the better, I guess.
I'm at a point where, if this movie isn't a total fucking disaster, I'm going to be like, no shit. I don't know. It seemed like the dumbest thing to do. Of all the things they could do with stories to tell with standalones, I was like, this is the, like, you should not do.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's, like Luke was the only other one you should not do, but because that's A New Hope, his young Luke story.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wookiee love.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen it's not like you haven't seen two Wookiees together before.
Yeah.
Or Wookiees in love with each other. I've seen the Star Wars Christmas.
That's
guys.
What
I was
say.
Thinking.
Do
you think that this is.
That's the first thing I thought
love
about.
Love Day
Christmas
or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
Maybe it incorporates.
Watch
that
weird
that.
Little hologram dancing
yeah,
thing.
The weird, sexy.
Sexy.
Was that not sexy for you? Should I not have jerked off to that? Anyway, don't tell me how to love.
Yeah.
Wookiee.
So
anyway,
Wookiee.
Yeah. So Wookiees, foreheads, and love. Yeah. It's all happening.
It's all on screen.
In the new movie.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, we can go to some new news about a property that has been long in gestation. Robotech.
Robotech.
Greg, tell me about Robotech.
Tell you about Robotech.
Yeah, because that's it stands right now. I don't give a fuck about Robotech, so wow me.
Why am I? All right.
I feel like I know that it's a thing, that it was a property that has been on the table for Leonardo DiCaprio, James Wan.
Yeah.
A number of people were trying to make this
Two weirdly desperate names.
Well, this thing's been, people have been trying to make a movie out of Robotech for a long time.
Did I say desperate or disparate?
Both.
Either way, it's both.
It's, you know, transforming robots and stuff like that, only they aren't thinking robots. There's people inside them.
Yeah
that one looks like Star
But a
screen.
Lot of it led to what Transformers and GoBots would be. Transformers very directly took the Robotech robot design and turned it into...
Because that one that's the picture on the screen right now looks a hell of a lot like Starscream.
They made Jetfire. And when the Transformers Jetfire toy came out, it was fucking amazing. It was so big, and it was very good. Anyway, but it has the exact Robotech look. There was no, you know, saying it was something else. It was absolutely Robotech. So I don't know. It's a series. It's a bunch of little movies. It's come and gone.
It started as an anime, I guess.
Yeah, and it's been I don't know. It's been in a bunch of different formats over the years. There's been comic books. There's been video games. There's been all kinds of shit. And I don't know. I'm not really. I don't have any real feelings about Robotech. I mean, other than when I was a kid. If out of nowhere, when one would be on television, it blew my mind, and I was like, and I would turn on the TV for weeks afterwards, being like, "Where is it again?"
Yeah,
you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, so live action movie has been in the works since 2007.
Yeah,
so it's been a while.
Yeah, there was DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire were going to do it at some point.
I like that Lawrence Kasdan was hired to write it. Then Akiva Goldsman.
Yeah. I hate the Transformers movies so much. I'm just off robot giant stuff punching each other right now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a sequel to Real Steel.
I don't
give a fuck.
I'll watch that.
You should watch that movie. It's very good. I don't know why. I mean, it's dumb. It is a movie about robots boxing, but I love it in the same kind of way I love absurd 80s movies.
Yeah.
It's got plenty of heart. It fully buys into its product, and I don't know. I got time for Real Steel.
So you're like,
I would rather see a sequel to Real Steel than a RoboCop movie or a Robotech movie.
I don't want to see another RoboCop movie.
All right. Well, then
those are Starscream's colors, though. That's a good.
I'm a good boy.
You did really good.
Did real good, buddy.
Casey,
what?
I've got something here that you want to talk about,
Dan.
That is an entire
stop sabotaging
television series from Robotech to Wrecked.
Wrecked.
Tell me what Wrecked is.
Wrecked is a show on TBS that is basically, the whole thing is, it's basically Lost.
Yeah.
But entertaining.
Lost is entertaining. It just didn't have an ending.
Started out that way, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrecked is a show on TBS. It is a straight up and down comedy about a plane full of people who are crashed on a desert isle.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It just lifts storylines from Lost. Like, it almost plays as a parody of Lost.
Right.
Myers and I watched an entire season of it in a couple days because it is fucking hilarious.
Oh, great.
Sweet.
Yeah, this is, it's my new favorite to go to in half-hour comedy. It's a sitcom that does, like, there are certain conventions that say, you know, your sitcom stars can't, you know, do these things and still be likable. This show just does those things.
Right. Yeah.
And like gleefully so. The standout performance, I mean, Rhys Darby is in it and he is you know, has he ever not been, like, he can fart and it's hilarious. I assume. I've never heard him fart. But the standout performance, I think, is Will Greenberg. He plays just like this total douche hole guy and just absolutely wonderfully. I cannot recommend the show enough. It is just ridiculously silly fun. If you're missing, if you've watched all of Angie Tribeca and you just want more TBS silliness, fucking
I'm
watch the shit
that.
Out of
nice.
This show.
All
it right. is so wonderful.
All right.
And fun people show up on it, like Rory Scovel shows up, and you're like, hey, all right.
Nice.
It's pretty fantastic.
Sweet. So Wrecked on TBS is something you got to get into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to get into it.
Yeah, me too.
TBS is fucking killing it with original programming lately.
Yeah.
About Doctor Who?
Yes.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
I can see on your little list here that you did not take my suggestion
I
seriously.
Did. I did. I have the photo right here.
No, I understand.
It was added.
No, I know.
Yeah. It was added.
It was.
Yeah. First female doctor.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Great news.
Yeah.
Normally, I'd be like, Doctor Who cares?
Yeah.
But
Doctor Who would come up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But this is pretty fun. I think this is fucking great.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, the show has always given itself a nice ability to adapt and change by changing the doctor whenever they feel like it, or almost forcing themselves to change because they kind of have to do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
So this is great. And I was like, oh, cool. And it didn't even occur to me what was going to happen to the internet, of course, when this is announced. I'm like, oh, yeah. The world's full of pieces of shit. Yeah.
The funny thing is, I read a tweet, somebody that said, the only tweets I've read about it are people saying, oh my God, everybody's going to fucking be a shithead about this. But I've not read one tweet of anybody going, this is stupid. This sucks.
There's like, been some, I've seen
been
some
those.
Retweets.
I have to assume that there have, but
out there.
But it just seems like for every one, this is stupid, is like 20 people going, oh boy, here it goes.
Yeah. Well, be.
But I feel like fans of the, I don't know, maybe, no, you know what? Nerds are dicks.
Yeah, nerds can be, nerd culture can be incredibly sexist.
Gamergate was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like they take, I saw the stuff that I saw from people saying like, oh God, a lot of it was either like, oh, just trying to like force your PC like agenda in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it was,
how does that make any
I don't know.
Sense?
Or it was a lot of like,
well, the doctor solves a lot of mysteries with his dick.
Yeah.
Oh, is that? Are they mostly dick related?
Yeah, it's like a water.
Then this is stupid.
It's like finding water. It's like with
the
that
working
stick.
Title is Dr. Dick.
Yeah.
Dr. Dick Solver.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
And then they moved over to Dr. Newitz.
Yeah.
Dr. Newitz.
Yeah. But there was also a lot of like, well, you know, in the canon of the show, he's been a man, and like trying to like find little like rules from the show that would be like why this isn't okay. And
rules
it's, like,
from the show about
time
a traveling
time
space lord who goes.
Yeah.
Jumps around in a telephone booth.
Yeah,
and it's like they're gonna find that one thing and tweet it out, and the creators of the show are gonna be like, "Guys, they're right.
Yeah,
can't do it.
Yeah,
can't do it, guys."
And who gives a fuck if they do it? Like, just I just don't understand how anyone could fucking have a problem or care. Just
the thing is, the thing for me is that I don't give a sweet fuck about Doctor Who.
No, I know.
So. I can't argue one way or the other, except to say this is it's a lot of fun that the world is telling stories that aren't about white men. Like, I still like stories about white men. I'm a white man. I like relating to stories about it. But I love that more and more stories aren't about white men because it's like, holy shit, there's other people in the world and they have interesting stories.
Yeah, yeah.
So like on that level alone, why can't we just have fun with this?
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think it's great news.
It is great news.
Yeah. Wicked.
Yeah. It's objectively great news.
Yeah, totally.
Good. Dummies.
All right. Speaking of dummies.
Yes.
Casey also had a thing he wanted to. Casey, you're
well,
a
that's
Casey
dummy. A
dummy,
so we're going to slow things down a little bit.
Yeah.
Me no understand. Oh.
So there's a new Netflix show
yeah.
called Friends from College, and
yeah.
I message to our group when I saw that it went live on Netflix, and I said,
"It's a Netflix produced television
yes.
program.
Yeah,
it's created by Nick Stoller.
Yes,
and stars all the people you see in front of you.
Yeah, and I messaged mm-hmm. the group and I said I didn't know that Friends from College was a thing until just now when it showed up in front of me, and then Casey, you were like, "It's a thing, all right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah."
And you watched an episode.
I watched. I think maybe 2.5 episodes.
Okay, and that was when you realized that it wasn't worth watching?
I realized about 5 minutes in.
Oh, I stuck through the entire thing before I was
like, episode.
I'm going to go ahead and not ever watch this again.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, oh, no.
What a horrible show.
These people have money and problems. Oh, God, I could
not. I didn't even get that far. I was just like, I don't like how this is directed. I don't like how it's scripted. I don't like how it's acted. And now Colby Smulders is in it.
Oh, yeah, you're not a fan of
her. I don't care for her terrible acting.
I'm not so crazy about her. She's a pretty bad actress. I love Keegan-Michael Key. I love
Nat
Faxon.
This cast is all very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for one.
Smaldi. This show would be better served if it was called Who the Fuck Cares About These People?
Yeah.
Awful.
Awful. Just terrible.
Yeah.
I
stuck it through the first episode and I thought this show is bad.
Yeah.
But I found some like chuckles throughout. So it's like in maybe the performances or just the fact that there were some people in it that I liked comedically.
I like a lot of people. And like a lot.
Myself really enjoying Keegan-Michael Key that much.
No,
I mean,
he's not great in this. And
I'm wondering if he's maybe needs to just pick and choose things a little bit. You don't have to be in everything.
Yeah.
Let's not burn out on your on the goodwill you've created.
But I did find myself being like, okay, I watched the pilot and I thought that wasn't good, but it was fine. And I had it on in the background and I chuckled, so maybe I'll put on a few more. And I put on the second one and kind of felt
it's
the same way.
It's not a few more. Sorry.
And then I watched another one and sort of had to turn it off to go do something else. And then, then just like 3 days went by and I was like, I'll never watch that
again.
No,
I could never imagine restarting it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Fred Savage, great.
Yeah, but watching Fred Savage just made me go, oh, man, I miss the Grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
Matt Faxon, he's great.
He's fantastic, but they can't fucking for the life of them figure out where to put him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why can't he, except for, what was that show? Damn it. I can't remember. It was
damn
a
it.
Name. It was a
damn it.
Damn it.
Tonight on Fox.
Damn it.
Starring Nat Faxon.
As Professor Damn it. it was a animated show with Jonah Hill, and Nat Faxon was in it, and anyway, it was great. Woo! Anyway, yeah, this show, not great.
Mm-mm. No, definitely not.
Big piece of shit.
What?
Big piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. What I said.
That is an alternate title.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that was all that I have photos for the news stuff. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about before we do our roulette of films?
What? What did you say?
I said I don't have any
photos.
More news.
Oh, you don't have any photos
for the stream.
Yeah.
But if there's anything else that you'd like to talk about before Film Roulette, now speak now or forever hold your peace.
I don't think there's a. Film Roulette. We're going right there.
Well,
I have something.
Okay.
I forgot to mention last week.
Okay.
It's just a side little thing for whatever, but something neat happened. I saw a band in a live concert. That I had to scratch off my bucket list. I'd never seen this band, and I couldn't believe it took me this long.
I wanted to talk to you about this.
Yeah, yeah. I went and saw the Violent Femmes.
Yeah.
At
Massey Hall.
At Massey Hall.
And that is interesting to me because I've seen the Violent Femmes at Massey Hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the original lineup.
Oh, amazing.
Damn. Yeah,
not the original drummer for this show, but the guy they had is amazing.
Yeah.
And I've never seen someone play a barbecue so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
And you've seen
many barbecues.
A lot of people play barbecues.
They're a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
I've been a Femmes fan for more than half of my life. I love the Violent Femmes so much. And so this was super exciting. And my seats were fucking insane.
Yeah.
Second row.
The seats themselves.
Center. Yeah, they were insane. I was like, these,
they were like, wow, 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 wow.
We need to start the conversation.
Yeah.
And so it was great, and we were down there, and we're watching the show, and it's good, and the audience is older.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And very city. We're not city like we're in a, we live in a city, but sitting city.
Yeah.
They're just happy
they
to
sitting
just
pretty.
Sit through the whole show. And we were kind of like, it's the fucking Femmes. Like, I'm kind of,
it's Massey Hall. It's, what are you going to do? You sit.
I guess you sit. I don't know. We stood on chairs at Jane's Addiction.
We were right in the front, though.
Anyway.
Still, it was weird to see Jane's Addiction.
At Massey Hall. Yeah,
at Massey
not
Hall.
The right place for it. No. Anyway, finally, what was it? They played something pretty upbeat, and we were like, fuck this. So we stood up, which started a nice little chain reaction of people standing up. And we all stood up for a while.
Everyone was like, you can stand
up. You can stand.
Up.
We can all stand together, and it was great. And then they played.
We're far too city for that.
Yeah. Then they played a slightly slower song, and the whole place just sat down again. We're like, I don't want to just sit in a chair and
read the room, Gano.
Violent Films, yes.
I kind of like that, though.
What, sitting through a show?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm an older, fatter gentleman these days.
Lately, I've been, like, totally fine with... Unless it's, like, a fucking, like, punk rock show.
Well, it is
where there's,
kind
like,
of.
A pit, though. Like, where there's going to be, like, a pit.
Yeah, all right. Well,
like,
there's
then,
no... Pit,
then
well,
I can understand.
I understand. Yeah, so there's no pits at Massey Hall.
Yeah.
However, at one point, they finally started playing something upbeat again. Not finally. Most of their songs are fairly upbeat. They started playing a nice upbeat tune, and... Six ladies in their late 40s or so just ran down to the front of the stage and started dancing.
Oh.
And there's this security guy who's the only guy down there who's probably like, fucking light night. It's the Violent Femmes. Everybody's old. Yeah. And I'm not going to have to do anything. So he just like saunters over to like tell them, okay, ladies, get back or whatever. And they just don't give a fuck about his authority at all and start like dancing with him.
Oh.
And then as the other security guys are coming in to back him up, I don't know, two dozen more ladies in their late 40s were like, fuck that! And they all ran down and started dancing, too. And the security guys lost total control of the front of the room, and we all just bum-rushed the stage. It was amazing.
Nice.
Now there's like 200 people against the edge of the stage at Massey Hall, and security can't do a fucking thing about it, and that's how we stayed for the rest of the night. It was awesome.
What the fuck did they think they were doing trying to do something about it anyway?
Yeah.
It's the Violent... Nobody's going to throw a chair. Like... They might kick off
know.
The little shoes.
They
might kick off the city
true.
Shoes.
It did
they
get, and then it was like everyone was like into it, and it was fun, and there were some like colorful characters in the audience there. And then these two ladies showed up like at the end. They wormed their way up to the front, and they were very excited to be there. I don't think they looked like they thought they were going to see like Warrant. Or something?
Oh, no.
Or Rat.
There was a lot. Yeah, totally.
No,
like the, you know, like the fingerless glove that goes up past your elbow, like that kind of thing, and some very harsh lines of haircut and dress. Like, it was all out of place. And you know that like, dancing that some people do where it's like, it's not to any specific rhythm, it's just like a swimmy arms are up in the air.
Freaking out.
Yeah, yeah. And there's just that constant face of like, stinky.
What?
You know, stinky face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, face while you dance. Ooh,
yeah.
Stinky.
My face smells awful.
Yeah. Totally. My lips are stinky. But I can't stop smelling them.
But I'm going to dance.
Because I was backstage earlier.
Eating potato chips.
I was having... Then they had gone off.
Very smelly potato chips.
The potato chips were bad. What?
Anyway, they were just a bunch of flailing elbows. Anyway, it was amazing.
Did flailing elbows here's, open? Good night,
yeah,
everybody.
Nice.
Listen.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they not put out an album recently?
They did.
Is it any good?
I haven't
did not
listened
hear
to it yet.
I heard
word
bad
about it.
You heard
that's
bad
why, about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and that's why I was worried. I was like, oh, is this concert going to be... Here's all our new stuff
they
that sucks now.
They did play new stuff, like stuff from the last 10 years, but it was all good.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it didn't like blow my mind or something,
yeah,
but I'm like, these
like,
are
good.
Nice
yeah.
little country,
yeah.
Folky, weird songs
in,
sung by...
In high
his
school...
His voice sounds great.
Yeah.
Gord Gano. And one of the best bass players ever.
Oh, my God. And that fucking... was he acoustic the whole time?
Well, of course.
Oh, Brian Ritchie.
Yeah, so
we went and saw them in high school. We were super fucking super excited, huge fans in high school, me and my high school friends. And we got our tickets, and then New Times came out.
Right.
And we were like, let's not go.
Not a great album.
That album's not good.
No.
But
you know, big problem with that album?
It sucks.
Kick drum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, way too produced.
Yeah.
But we were like, oh, what the fuck? But then we went to the show, and it was just fucking greatest hits.
They
played maybe two songs off the new album, and they played everything that was awesome.
Yeah, they played 75% of the first record, a whole shit ton off of Hollowed Ground. And then just like they played Breaking Up is hard to do.
Yeah.
But they played it like they used to play it before they got a record deal, so it is just the stripped-down version, which sounds better.
Yeah.
They did American music. It was fucking amazing.
Did they do I Held Her in My Arms? Because that is possibly my favorite. It's one of my favorite saxophone songs.
Mm.
And
there was a hell of a saxophone player there.
They must have done I Held Her in My Arms.
I didn't know they did cool stuff. Give Me the Car.
Oh, that song's fucking great.
Really good.
Girl, I wanna.
Yeah, they sounded amazing, and it was awesome, and I was so happy because they're just one of those bands that I've loved forever and just not gotten the chance to see live.
Yeah,
yep,
nice.
And watching the whole thing happening with starting off with great seats and being like, "Wow, these are great seats.
Yeah.
This is very cool." And then just we all just bum rushed the stage because a bunch of
that's sweet.
Older ladies were like, "We are fucking dancing, and I don't give a fuck who tries to stop me."
Yeah,
very good.
Nice.
I got a babysitter. I'm getting my shit.
This was
out
hard to put together. I'm gonna have a good time. God damn it!
This took me 8 months to get together. I'm gonna dance.
Yeah, it was very great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's Violent Femmes.
Yeah,
live
in concert.
Nice.
Yeah. On tour now.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get into Film Roulette then, unless you have something else.
Yeah, there's one thing I have. I want the two of you to vamp because I got to pee so bad.
Oh, okay. Let's go and hold scene.
Whoa. I'm glad we're holding
we'll be
scene
back.
And not something else.
Yeah.
Let's go and hold the dick.
Let's go. Hold the
dick. I'm going to pinch it so we can't.
Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was War for the Planet of the Apes, and the low roller has to stay at home and watch a movie. This week it was Farewell to the Planet of the Apes. But the low roller gets to give an album to the listener, to the winners for the rest of the week. I gave these guys an album because I lost last week, and we will get another album this week and roll for movies for next week. That is how we play.
No, Greg.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let a film.
I see you've gotten your film roulette gloves out. You gonna put,
yes.
Put those on?
if you'd like.
Yeah, he's suiting up for war. The Planet of the Apes, directed by Matt Reeves. This is the third in the rebooted franchise of the Planet of the Apes, following Rise of the Planet of the Apes. For freedom, for family, for the planet. Greg now has his gloves on for the listeners at home.
Now that's what I call film roulette.
Yeah. Mm. Caesar and his apes are forced into a deadly conflict with an army of humans led by a ruthless colonel. After the apes suffer unimaginable losses, Caesar wrestles with his darker instincts and begin his own mythic quest to avenge his kind. As the journey finally brings them face to face, Caesar and the colonel are pitted against each other in an epic battle that will determine the fate of both their species and the future of the planet. On Letterboxd here, the average star rating is sitting at about 4 out of 5. It's pretty skewed towards the positive. Stars Andy Serkis, of course, as well as Woody Harrelson, Steve Zahn, Ty Olson, Judy Greer.
Yeah, he was a monkey.
Lots of people.
I feel like the tagline for the poster we're looking at could be, "She's behind me, isn't she?"
Yes, it's the poster with Caesar and the little girl behind him.
Yeah.
So, Casey, longtime shit talker of this series, got to see the film that I was very looking forward to this year because I think, for my money,
that I'm an ape shit talker.
Yeah, ape shit talker. For my money, this is one of the more interesting franchises. I thought the first film was an interesting film and fun, but not quite there. And I felt like Rise for the Planet of the Apes fucking totally got where I wanted it to be. And I think that for me, that movie is one of the best blockbusters in recent memory. I love it. And I was so excited to see this, and I didn't.
Yeah.
So you guys went and saw it.
Yep.
And I am very excited to hear about it.
Yep.
Because I am very invested in what Casey's going to land on this
one.
Me too.
I'm so curious about that. Yeah. So tell us your story,
so,
sir.
So how do you guys
want
to start
with you?
It? Yeah.
All right. I thought this movie was just okay. I thought, but I had the same problem. The thing is about this. Okay, my main problem with this is the Planet of the Apes, original concept of the Planet of the Apes was not entirely campy, but was fantastical.
Yeah.
Was, you know, that kind of exuberant sci-fi that existed in the 60s where it could be just this side of campy or just this side of silly, but still take itself seriously within a silly context.
Yeah.
These movies just straight up take themselves seriously and as a result are no fun.
Mm-hmm. I thought that Rise was so dark, but still extremely entertaining.
I thought it was silly for all the wrong reasons. And this movie is just the same type of silliness and also a little boring. Well, no, maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's not boring because it's awfully great to look at. Like, those monkeys look great. Like, sexy.
Oh, boy, the effects were like, so good in this one.
It's scary.
It's crazy. Particularly Steve Zahn's character. I was like, my God, how is that happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But the everything else about it, I was like, I've seen this before. You know what it is? It's like the those Lord of the Rings movies. I accept that people love them and that they're probably good movies, but when I point my eyes at them, my immediate reaction is, ugh.
Right.
And that's the same with these movies. It's just, why can't you make battling monkeys fun? Why does it have to be serious and tell me a story about how, what if the apes became like the humans, but what if the humans became like the
I've been, like, all right with this franchise. I haven't been super into it. I thought the first one was, like, fine. I didn't really know anything about it. I didn't know if it was good or bad. I'm like, what's the new monkey movie? I guess I'll watch it. And so I was like kind of all right with it. I would never, like, I don't have any desire to ever revisit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the second one I definitely had a much better time with, and I had fun in the theater watching it. I was engaged, basically. But also, I don't remember fucking anything about it except for the end fight thing, you know? It just didn't really... I just wasn't able to kind of connect with this franchise up to that point. I've been watching, like, I want to feel something here. I really want to be into this, but it just isn't getting me into it. So then this one, I liked the most.
I could say that,
but still, I think it's a pretty darn good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too long, and I feel like we're getting the same. We're getting the same tones and messages that we got in the last movie, but this time the movie is going like, but seriously, guy.
Yeah, like war, you guys. The thing is, if you took the monkeyness out of this movie and it was just people, now granted, some of the storylines would be perplexing, say the least.
Hey, if you took the...
I was going to say, if you made it just humans, it wouldn't be as entertaining, but it would be. Oh, yeah. I was wrong.
There's certainly only one scene you'd be talking about.
Listen, if you took the entire reason for these movies and decided to throw that out the window, oh, man, it wouldn't be interesting. Well, if you took the Star Wars and just had them take place on Earth, I mean, nothing's going on there.
If you placed the story of Star Wars in a different context... It would be interesting.
It would be Seven Samurai.
Exactly.
It would be another movie.
Yeah. This is not that. This is a pretty pedestrian movie that lives and dies by its monkeys looking great.
I don't know that it's pedestrian, because the direction is quite nice. This movie looks great. I think Andy Serkis is doing a fine job of doing this thing that he's the only one who can do, apparently. He's great.
Apparently.
No, he's really good at it, though. But I just feel like I needed this one to elevate now. Like, whereas Dawn of was a big jump from Rise. There was a huge leap in where we are in how the story is told, what the stakes are, what's happening. And this is just like a little bit more of that. But I wanted this to be bigger. I wanted it to feel more global and like war. And it's a much smaller story than that, and that's fine. And I liked a lot of elements of it. I quite liked a lot of the emotional notes that that Andy Serkis was able to get out of Caesar in this. And I thought Woody Harrelson was great. And
Woody Harrelson was just doing his evil guy.
Yeah, but I like his evil guy.
His evil guy is good.
Super good.
But I feel like nobody was doing anything exceptional in this movie.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But yeah, I really wanted... I needed this third one to be yet another big leap forward. Like, I really wanted to see the stakes of a species' survival really on display here, and I kind of feel like I didn't.
These movies are better than the Tim Burton one.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not any more fun.
No, but, I mean, they're way better than the Tim Burton one.
Yeah.
I think, like, I don't want to come down on this movie too hard, because I did like it, and I did like the one before this, and the one before that. I'm just not crazy about them, and I want more from them. I feel like I should be getting more from them, and I don't, maybe it's me, but mostly I'm like, why are you giving me more, you fucking monkeys?
Hey, you monkeys!
Yeah.
I want a story about monkeys who try to take over the world, and this isn't a story about monkeys that try to take over the world. Quite the opposite. But I want the concept of monkeys rising up and being super intelligent to be not silly necessarily, but more enthusiastic. Or just, this movie's very serious.
Very serious. But again, I think like if the monkeys had developed more than the last time we saw them,
yeah,
I would really, I think I wanted that. I wanted to see yeah. more evolution happening. I mean, you don't see that. These are the exact same monkeys from the last movie.
Yeah, and hey, how come these monkeys aren't wearing little suits?
I know it hasn't been that long, but at the same time, fuck it. It's a movie about fucking super intelligent monkeys.
Yeah.
Let's put the fucking gas down. Let's
Where's the coconut Nintendo?
Yeah, yeah.
Just let's put them in little suits and be done with it.
I don't want to sound too harsh with this movie, but I do.
You guys are killing me.
I know.
You're crushing me.
I know. And I want you. I still want you to see it.
Yeah.
You'll probably have a different take. I hope anyway. Because people like this movie a lot, and I was really excited.
Yeah, people.
Maybe
people
the stakes were
high
too, because people like the reviews were like, "This movie is fucking important." Was what I kept reading, and I'm like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "All right, I get it, man."
People who keep saying that need to cut it out.
Yeah, it's good. That's all. I don't, you know, that's it. It's good.
Yeah.
Watch it 100%. If you've enjoyed the previous movies,
that's
going to
the thing.
This too.
Yeah, you will really dig this movie if you like this movie.
If you like this
Super
movie,
good.
Do I have a movie for you? It's this movie.
It's this movie.
It's the movie you
Why
are
not
watching.
Watch it again? But I didn't like this movie, so I didn't like this movie.
Yeah, and a couple of things were...
I did not like it. That's
no,
too
it's,
much.
The thing is, I didn't mind watching it. I did check my watch at one point and go, fuck, another hour.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. When I got to an hour, I was like, it's only been an hour?
Yeah, I know. No, it's 2 hours 20.
Yeah. It's two hours 20.
Yeah.
Way 2 hours 20.
Oh.
Wow.
There's things I like I'm looking at imagery from in front of us here. And I'm like, yeah. No, there's things I liked. And my God, the effects are good.
There's a couple of
Holy fuck.
Of real beautiful monkeys.
Yeah. Real nice monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was Steve Zahn. He did a fine job.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
It was very good.
That monkey was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. I needed more.
Okay.
I really wanted like a fucking game changer, big emotional powerhouse action fucking fantasy, and I got just like a pretty good monkey movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty good million-dollar monkey movie.
Yeah, who am I to complain? Yeah. Decent monkey movie.
You're
yeah.
Greg LeGros.
Yeah,
I am. Stupid.
That
monkey.
Is a war.
What is it good for?
And that's what it's good for.
Not monkeys.
Not a monkey movie, apparently. So if you want
Warning.
Some...
War is not good for monkeys.
If you want some more...
Yes?
You guys both seem to want more from this movie.
Yes?
Do I have some more for you?
Good.
Personally, what I'd like to say is...
Farewell.
No, bring it home.
Goodbye.
I bid you saying goodnight.
I bid you adieu to the Planet of the Apes, a.k.a. farewell to the Planet of the Apes. This is a film from 1981, film in quotes, because what it really is... Two episodes of the CBS short-lived television series. And so I guess what happened was after the film series ran its course, they made the TV show. After the TV show ran its course, they said, how can we reuse this television show and dupe people into thinking they're seeing a new thing?
Yeah.
So what they did was they took two episode packages of the television series and edited them together into some television film events with a couple extra little bits and pieces here to kind of make it seem like they were meant to be together, even though it was obvious that that was not the case.
Right.
So Farewell to the Planet of the Apes is the final one of these, and it is two episodes of the show. One is called Tomorrow's Tide, and the series finale, Up Above the World So High.
Did they try and mask these are two episodes, or did you get the opening credits twice?
They don't do the opening credits twice. But they do try and mask it by having some extra footage of Roddy McDowall sort of opening and closing the film.
Is he in the whole thing?
Yes.
Was he in the TV show?
Yeah. He's in the suit.
Oh, God bless
him. You never see him. Just in he's the ape character.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I know who he was in the thing, but...
Just
yeah, he's in it. Yeah, he's in it.
Did I know he's never... dressed up like a monkey.
Yeah, he's in it, and they have like a thing where he's sort of like the opening is him kind of reminiscing on these tales, and so on and so forth. So basically, he reprises his role, obviously, Galen, and it shows him kind of as an older ape, and it's like, okay, now that he's sort of had his life, he is kind of thinking back on these tales.
Right.
And he tells you, the viewer, about how the two human characters had found some computer and gotten back to space. It's kind of like a real real Poochie, like, yeah, and then they made it. They had to go to their home planet.
Right.
And they found a computer and pew, went home.
Their own planet.
Yeah.
I thought they went home to their own planet.
Yeah, yeah. Because they, the opening credits of the TV show, which I went and watched, are like them in space, and they're like, oh no, the computer dates are keep going up, but now we're in the future and it's Planet of the Apes.
So they're time travel.
They're time travel. They accidentally time travel. Yeah, they accidentally time travel. So then I guess at the end of this film, he says, like, and they found a computer and got back.
Got back in time.
Yeah.
Gonna go back.
Yeah, and I think they are from I think they're from space.
They're what?
I think they came down from, because they're like astronauts. They came down from space.
Yeah.
They were always astronauts.
They were sent up on a mission. They're up there for longer than they thought. They come down. Yeah. They think they're on an alien planet.
But
they're
not.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
But, sorry. So the two episodes.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Tide is the first one.
Right.
And it is about the two humans, Alan and Pete. They are captured by this dude who is kind of overseeing a fishing colony, and they use humans as slave labor there. And if you don't, like, do a good slave job, you are thrown into the sea to be sacrificed to some sharks.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff in the first chunk.
Sweet shark footage in there?
Yeah, some good stock footage. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff about, like, oh, if you can throw a spear into the water and get a fish, then you're like a fisher. There's all this shit about them doing that. That's really fucking boring. And then there's some stuff where it's like, if you can, and then at one point they throw a bunch of gas in the water and light it on fire. And they're like, if you can swim underneath this fire, then like, you're great. I don't really.
If you can fight a flaming shark.
Yeah. It's like, if you don't die doing this, then great. We won't kill you.
Yeah.
And that might sound very entertaining,
yeah,
but it's not.
Not.
No, not really. It's pretty boring.
Very boring, low-budget television.
Yes.
Kinda. Yeah.
And then the other episode, Up Above the World So High, has the highest opportunity for greatness, in my mind.
Yeah.
Because both of these chunks of episodic television have potential, because you're like, oh man, a TV episode about like getting thrown into the sharks and gotta get your way out, and I'm like, I'm there. Or if you tell me Up Above the World So High, which is Alan and Pete and the ape Galen discover this human who has invented a hang glider, and they're like, we're gonna like make these hang gliders, and then all the like bad apes are like, well, we're gonna make hang gliders, and it's like a fight to who can control the sky.
That's how this series
sounds.
Ends.
Great.
People are making
who can
hang
make
gliders?
The nicest hang glider.
Yeah, because it's like, if you control the skies, you know, none of us have been in the sky yet.
No.
And you're like, this is gonna be hilarious.
The skies, you truly are the one having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Having the most fun of all.
He controls the skies. What does he do up there?
Mostly goes wee.
Here's the thing. That happens.
Yeah,
exactly as you described it.
Wow.
The Galen character totally goes up in a hang glider and totally, I guess on set, they were just like, we'll set up the hang glider so it looks like you're in the sky. And hey, we'll shoot a bunch of footage of you on the hang glider. And he's like, wee, wee, ah, woo. And he's like, she's like shimmying his butt around on the little seat. And he's like, woohoo, wee, ah, wee.
Oh, God.
For a while. And
that is what I wanted from War for the Planet of the Apes.
Well,
nary a butt was shimmied.
Yes. And it's here, but. And it all sounds so hilarious to have me tell you all of this.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not. It's so drab and boring. And I mean, the best parts about it are that, like, there is a kind of, like, ramshackle charm to the show. The ape masks are so bad.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
that they got, like, worse and worse over the course of the films.
Yeah.
But this is, like, they barely
It's
move.
Like they had the ones from the old movie, but never
they
repaired
broke.
Them.
It's yeah.
They got, they're full of old actors' yeah. sweat and stuff.
And gin.
Yeah.
Gin.
So it's just like the chin piece is just attached to the chin, but it's really big outside of the chin. So yeah. it's like the mouth is moving inside it, but then it's only moving a little outside.
Yeah.
So like every once in a while it works, but most of the time it just looks like a thing is hanging on their mouth a little and yeah. not moving much. And yeah. that's pretty charming for a little while. And then eventually that kind of wears off and you're like, all right, this show's not very good.
Yeah,
and
like,
it's quite boring. And then, yeah, and then eventually he comes back at the end and tells you that they found a computer and you da, 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 da.
Yep.
And the ending of the episode that is the finale is just like, it ends with them like on a raft, like drifting away. And I'm like, I can only assume they just died out in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
It's terrible.
I'm a big fan of the original movie. It's terrific. It's a really good
time.
Oh,
the original, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of a lot of things.
How about the rest of them?
No, not really.
Yeah.
You never want a sequel beyond that, the first one. Like, it's so great.
Yeah.
It ends on such a, oh, well, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't really want, there's no more story to go from there, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fuck, wow.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah,
cool...
exactly. It's just, it's a fun twist.
Yeah.
And then it's like, this is just one self-contained thing that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made so many movies. And they're all like, they're entertaining, but they really, really become just serious camp after that, whereas I think there is some legit quality to the first movie.
Yeah.
I think the performances are great. I think Charlton Heston's pretty good in it. I like that there's a huge chunk, like there's like a fucking half an hour in the beginning of the movie where nobody talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great. The sound design is wicked. The fucking score is dynamite. The cinematography is really good.
Yeah.
And it's a cool, weird story.
Yeah.
And you wait
yeah.
and you wait for like, you know, the line like, hey, there's that line. When
yeah.
it lands, you're like, yeah, fucking A, man. That's
yeah.
pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I wish you had watched
and the,
this.
And the makeup and the effects, they're good
yeah.
for the time.
I wish you had watched this so you could have compared and contrasted.
Yeah, I won't.
No.
Oh, man, it's not yeah. very good.
Yeah.
It really reeks of, hey, how can we repackage this content?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very, like, we need to... This show has not been on the air, I guess. I can't remember how many years, if it's a year or whatever, how long passed from
yeah.
the show going off the air. And it's like, we know this show wasn't popular, but we still have all this content,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
so we'll shoot like 2 minutes of footage and then put this stuff together and air it as like movie of the week on CBS or whatever.
Right.
Which is like, I guess you got to do what you got to do to fill time on the TV back
sure
then.
Sure do.
But yeah, not very good.
No.
And again, there is charms to it. Like Emma was there while I was watching both of them and we had like both chunks of the movie that like have a new story. We're like, hey, okay, we're kind of back. A new story now.
Yeah,
let's
yeah,
see what's
yeah.
going on here.
Hangliners, you say?
Yeah, oh, this will be hilarious. And then we're, like, laughing about,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
some of the silly stuff. And then, like, at the, like, 20-minute mark when you realize there's 25 minutes left and it's already felt like it's been on for an hour, you're like, oh, I could wish I could turn this off now.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably could have and gotten the same effect.
Was there, did a question come up on the screen while we were talking?
The question came up when we were talking about your film.
Yeah, I know.
About
I
whether,
didn't see what it was.
It was when Casey was saying, what if we took this ape movie and made it not about apes?
Right.
And then Kelsey Sharp said, well, if that was the case, would Andy Serkis even be in it?
No, because he's contractually obligated to play a monkey at all times.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So because I lost, I gave you guys a record to
yeah.
listen to. And I gave you guys a record by Jim Sullivan. It's called UFO.
Old Five Face himself.
Yes, on the album cover, a very psychedelic album cover.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy
so
story.
I have a bit of the story here that I can run through. I made sure, because
yeah.
I couldn't remember the locations and stuff when I gave it to you. But basically,
yeah.
in 1969, Jim Sullivan in Malibu had become this kind of local celebrity at a bar called The Raft, where people would hang out. And some of those people included Harry Dean Stanton and some other Hollywood people. And he eventually was in Easy Rider as a commune member when they land at the commune there.
Yeah.
So eventually some people were like, okay, you've been you've kind of been in this movie and you're a musician, so we're going to give you some money to make a record. And he worked with some session musicians, yeah. Some of which were in the Wrecking Crew who had helped like Beach Boys, Simon and Garfunkel. So it was kind of like a big thing.
Yeah.
It didn't catch on, despite, in my opinion, it being a really interesting record. And then like years passed and he's performing. Some music of his was stolen. He started to become a drinker, and eventually he decided, I'm going to pack my Volkswagen Beetle up and I'm just going to go to Nashville. And he said to his wife and son, you can come and meet me in Nashville once I've kind of put some roots down and made some money. And no one ever saw him again.
Right. He disappeared in New Mexico.
Yeah. Car was found on the side of the road with all of his stuff in it.
Everything.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this album's called UFO?
That's right. Yeah. That is one of the popular conspiracy theories, is of course.
It must be.
Yeah, because he also...
Hippies are dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. He also, like, rented a hotel room, and they found, like, the key in the room, locked in the room, and he hadn't slept in the bed. It's,
and he, like had
very
been at some
mysterious
ranch or something as well. Like, that's near where his car was. And, I mean, there was, a family who lived at the ranch. And I guess, I mean...
Yeah, and his family...
I'm sure they were probably the ones, like, maybe if they killed him or something, be like, I don't know. His album says UFO, I suppose. He was probably taken by aliens. Stay out of our shit.
Yeah. So his family...
Let's just say he was taken by aliens and not look in our backyard.
Yes. and so, like, his family tried to find him, and people have tried to figure it out over
and
the years.
Nothing
but,
ever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so...
On.
The album was very obscure until Light in the Attic Records, who put out some other very obscure stuff. They again, much like some other stories in the music world, they found a copy at like a record sale and were like, oh, shit, this is an interesting thing nobody talks about.
Yeah.
So they re-released it for everyone to hear, and it kind of got its second life as a very interesting record. I gave it to you guys because I've been listening to it a lot. It's kind of country, kind of rock, kind of folk. Very interesting to me.
Country.
So what was your experience with this album, UFO, by Jim Sullivan?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Sells. Yeah. Sully!
Yeah. Well, Dan Gorman, you've been on fire with the picks lately.
Yeah?
I went cuckoo bananas for this album.
Nice.
I loved it.
I really, really, really like it a lot.
Just
it's
to
so
throw
great.
My hat in the ring, yeah. Dan, I went CCBs for this
nice.
One, too.
Good, because it's a fucking great
it's
record.
It's so good.
So good.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Like, it's scary how good it is.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be like, the first song starts, and you're like, oh my God, this song's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then the second song starts, and you're like, I don't like this song as much as I like the first song, but I love this song. And then the third song starts, you're like, this is the best song of all! Like,
and that
what
happens
is
throughout
he...
the album. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
The title track is amazing.
There's points where I was like, what does he think he's doing? Like, why did he decide to do that chord here and then push the song to this place? And why is it the fucking greatest?
Yeah.
And, it's still cohesive.
And it's from 1969, and many parts of this album are way ahead of the curve.
Oh, way ahead of the curve. Because
music used to change a lot faster back then, and this sounds a little bit more like 1975. 76 to me.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of shit on here. I was like, this. No one was really sounding quite like this in 69.
No.
But at the same time, there was parts where I was like, and not in the same ways, but it really reminded me a lot of Richie Havens.
Yeah.
Like it had a real Richie Havens vibe, and I fucking love Richie Havens.
Fuck yeah.
There was stuff that was so familiar about it of a time, but the songwriting is so bold and the psychedelic bullshit on it is great. Like, it's used so fucking
and
well.
The strings that are on there are just gorgeous.
I would be and like the sorry to just fucking barrel over you here, but like I heard so many like, oh, there's no way Kishibashi didn't hear this album. Or like, you know, there's so many things where I'm like, oh my goodness, a lot has been stolen from this album.
Yeah. And yeah, it's not just like some ramshackle put together thing. No. Too. This is a produced record. Yeah. They've definitely spent some time working on this.
Oh yeah.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's not just, yeah, I thought kind of based on the story and whatever, it might just be like a kind of rough recording. Yeah. Using his guitar thing, but
no, this was, yeah, but this, yeah, sounds
they
like
were trying to, this as good have been, as any big record, yeah, of that era.
It,
you know?
It should have been big.
At the same time, it's shabby in some ways, sure, in the fucking best way. Like it has, yeah, that spirit of, like, hey, everybody, let's grab some guitars and, yeah, play some songs.
Yeah.
But I feel like it has that spirit in a beautifully produced way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's like shabby in that produced way that music, I feel like, and I don't want to be like, ooh, back in the day, music used to be like this. But like,
but it did.
Like, there is a kind of like communal sort of like musicians hanging out feel. And yeah, like it's super produced, but it's also like, you can also just be like, yeah, they were all in there playing together, yeah, and, yeah, having a good time.
And loving this song. Like, yeah. There's so much about this album to love.
I, yep, love, is it the third song about the clock?
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
Clock on a wall is a fine clock.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, that's really good. That song, literally, brilliant, I was driving and going, like, I can't remember the last time I was this impressed. No, I can. It was, what was that other album that we...
New Music.
It was that thing of like where I'm like, somebody wrote this.
Yeah.
Somebody had, yeah, the fucking mind that wrote this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super,
it's
good.
A great record.
Yeah. UFO and Johnny, I think, might be my favorites.
Yeah. Really, yeah, cool.
Really, yeah, good.
Glad
I like
that.
I like every song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every song.
It's fucking great.
This is a big fucking record.
Huge, nice, win. Big, yeah, win. Big, yeah, win.
Well,
Dan Gorman, you're on quite a streak.
I'm,
yeah, probably because you lose so much.
I know.
You're a lot of practice picking
you're
albums.
You're so good at losing, yeah, yeah, Dan. Yeah.
I had a really great Punishment album this week, but I have been on this streak of wanting to recommend you guys stuff, great, and I'm rolling through with the Here's Something I Love. Check,
yep,
it out.
What do you got?
So I'm giving you guys an album by a Japanese art pop band from 1981, mm-hmm, called Chakra, Chakra. And their album from 1981 is called Satekoso, Satekoso. You cannot find it on any streaming services.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do right now.
I am going to
would you do that?
I am going to give you the MP3s for this album, because it's very hard to find. You can listen to it on YouTube if you want to do that as well. But I will give you guys a Dropbox link with this album.
Ooh, give me.
It is something that I found stumbling around on YouTube in a stupor of, I'm just going to click on every album that has been that is beside this other weird album, which is a great thing to do. And I found this album and I said, whoa, this is an album. And I've been listening to it a bunch. So now I want to know what you guys think about this. It's very art pop, it has some new wavy kind of things, but it's also really weird and interesting. Okay. And so I'll give you guys, hook you guys up with Chakra's Satekoso from 1981.
Okay.
So that is what we are going to talk about next week for our albums. Now, speaking of taking extremely quick breaks, I'm going to get something here because I have
you have a new toy.
A new toy for us.
Dan Gorman's got a thing from a game.
I've got a rolling machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Are your arms sore from rolling dice?
Yes. Has this ever happened to you?
It was all of the exercise I got in the week, now it's gone.
So for the listeners at home, I go to Value Village a lot, and I got a board game that I remembered from my childhood. And you can see it here on the stream.
What's the board game called?
It's called The Inventors. It's very Monopoly-like. You get patents and stuff.
Does the dice ring the bell on its
way down?
The
dice rings
a
bell. Oh, so it has a little like tower that you put the dice in at the top, and you push a button, and it falls down and into a little place where it won't roll under the table if Casey rolls it off the table.
Casey really goes off the table.
And it makes a nice little ding sound.
Hey, fuck you guys.
It makes a nice little ding sound.
Yeah.
So we're going to use
get a
this.
Practice run.
Okay.
I want to see it in action.
I want to address, Kelsey Sharp just wrote, this is awesome. Great, guys. And I have to agree.
Yeah. So here's, put it in and then press the button. Ooh. Little ding.
That is fucking delightful.
Yes, and I thought we can't.
Dice is done, and it's never tasted
this.
Better.
Yes. So, who wants to go first with the incredible patent picker move maker machine?
Well, I've practiced the most, okay. So I'll go first.
Greg's going.
You are the expert.
And what are we rolling for?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We need to talk about that.
What the
so,
heck?
So, obviously, Dunkirk is coming out. Yeah. This is a new film. It looks great.
Although, I do really want to see Valerian. But Dunkirk's
I do too.
I much more want to see that than I do Dunkirk.
But I really? Feel like Dunkirk is the discussion.
Yes.
Unless you
sure.
guys just want to forego Dunkirk and do.
I'm more interested in seeing a new crazy Luc Besson movie. But that's just me. Mm-hmm.
Do we want to go against the tide? Everyone else will be talking about Dunkirk.
We could see one of those two movies.
Okay.
Take your pick if you
yes.
want.
Yes. Let's
okay,
do that.
Fine. Why not?
All right. So it's Dunkirk or Valerian. The loser is going to go see something that we have paired with Dunkirk.
Right.
It is going to be a sequel to a long-running franchise. War franchise to go with Dunkirk. Valerian, Kelsey says on the chat.
No, I was just poking, Greg.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Or pointing at your knee.
My knee.
Ooh.
I got two.
Yeah.
Bendy.
Yeah. Okay. And so, yeah. Loser movie. Right? Did we say
yet? Yes, it's a Iron Eagle sequel.
Did we say which one? Four.
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 Iron
what
Eagle
is it good
four.
For?
Four. How is there not a war movie with a fourth war movie cut like Rambo 4? What is it good for?
Yeah. Louis Gossett Jr. is in it.
Okay.
Back as Chappie.
Yeah.
And he's got like a bunch of irresponsible kids.
Not a robot.
Yeah, not yet.
But he's in war and he's got kids and it's going to be terrible.
I'm just going to watch Chappie again.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, anyway. Blue. All right, here we go. Greg's rolling.
Dice is in the hole. Here we go. Plunging. Oh, it's a zero.
That is a
fucking
roll.
The system works.
Yeah. All right, Casey, you going to go?
I don't know. I haven't practiced.
Here we go.
That's
six.
That's a six, y'all.
All right.
You could plunge yourself a nice zero here.
I could.
And we can roll some more.
I hope not.
Zero. Zero.
That's a five.
All righty.
That's higher than a zero.
Yeah. Dan, you've dug yourself out of a hole with the incredible patent picker.
Yes. So I think this is fun. And it makes a nice little noise.
It makes a fun noise.
Yes.
All right.
So the incredible patent picker. Greg's rolling again.
Six.
That it's doesn't count. Does not count. So, yes, next week we will talk about Dunkirk or Valerian. We will see who sees what.
We'll see who sees what.
There's Greg. Three other Iron Eagle movies you could see, too, if you so chose.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll watch number one.
I don't have to watch Valerian or Dunkirk. I can watch all the Iron Eagle movies.
You have to watch all of them, though.
The tide has turned.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next week, Eagle 4 and Winner's Choice, a.k.a. Dunkirk or Valerian. Yeah. And we will be listening to a really fun album.
Yeah.
So I will get you guys a link to that. Please go to modernsuperior.com, hit the Patreon button. Woo!
That's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. And help us keep the lights on. You can get content and lots of stuff up there. I sent out a link about a little early on the video that I made with my brother.
Oh,
where we ate a bunch of candy.
You were pointing at this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super confused there.
Patreon button.
I forget sometimes on the screen. Shit is visible to people.
Yeah.
Really? You're not good with computers, are you?
No, not so much.
Yes. So go to the Patreon page. Watch the go to modernsuperior.com. Go to the youtube.com/modernsuperior. Watch my brother and I talk about candy.
Yeah, I watched. I was getting ready for bed and it was on and I wanted to watch more because I was really hoping that you would have saved some of those Mentos because I really wanted to try some.
No, I ate them all.
Yeah, you're a dick. The weird brown flavor?
Oh, it was because it was from
this
when my brother
brown.
Went to Denmark, and over in Denmark and Sweden and everything, they love their licorice. Oh. So there was a licorice Mentos, and there was three flavors in it, a standard licorice a mint licorice and a salted licorice, and they were not good.
No, salted licorice is a bit of a...
isn't there some...
It's a frightening
People love
situation.
Licorice.
I fucking love licorice like
I
a motherfucker.
I don't care for licorice.
That's what I said too, Kelsey. That was one of my comments, was that fucking Jake's shirt is dope.
Yeah, it was a good shirt.
It still is.
Yeah, so we're going to try and do that a few more times. There's a couple. So what we did was we streamed my brother and I talking about candy and eating candy. And you can you can go to YouTube, and it'll be up there in bits. So there's like the Mentos one is up there now, but the other stuff that people on the stream got to see all at once will go up as episodes.
Okay, so it's bits that keeps happening because my, of course I subscribe to Modern Superior.
Yes.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
it keeps notifying me that Candy Brothers is on.
And yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So that'll be fun, and I'll be putting them in the Patreon page.
And you'll be doing more of those, I hope?
Yes.
Awesome.
So check those out, and check out all the episodes of our other shows on Modern Superior, Changing Reels, A Frame Apart, Surface Noise, and maybe some familiar names will show up on an episode of A Frame Apart. You never know. As always, we will see you next Wednesday.
Yep.
It is time to say goodbye, Internet. You've all been very good boys and wonderful baloney sleeves. What else?
Dan, I got to take issue with what you just did because it really made it seem like you were talking to males by addressing them as boys and girls as baloney sleeves.
No.
Yep.
I said you've all been very good boys in reference to our pretty good boy bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
classic bit.
Comma.
Yeah.
And baloney sleeves. Ergo, you have all been very good boys.
Yeah. And you've all been baloney
sleeves.
Right. All right.
You've been baloney sleeved.
Yes.
All right. Well, as always, please sleeve your baloney, and we'll see you.
Never
next
at the
Wednesday.
Sleeve store.
Five.
Because you don't need sleeves on account of all the baloney.
Yes.
I got five now.
No.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.